back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, sitting in for Alex today. As always, humbled at the opportunity to deliver you the news for today, and there's still a lot more to get to. And honestly, I need to stop talking. I've got so many videos to get to, and I never get to any of them because I just can't help myself but ramble. So I'm going to silence myself now and try to go to some of these videos, although even just to set them up is going to take a second. But suffice it to say, everything is completely insane and backwards and, for lack of a better term, special needs. Should I say special needs instead? Again, it's hard not to rage at the utter stupidity that we are continually subjected to and by, and the lack of understanding at like the way things are going and the methods that'll be used to get there. In other words, a lot of people were very mad at Mamdani being a socialist in New York and basically said he's going to fail and it's never going to work. New York's this capitalist city. Of course, my take was completely different, which was there's a lot of billionaires in New York right now that are socialist, and they see Mamdani as a test case. And they know that if Mamdani horrifically fails, then that's pretty much the end of socialism in America. It'll be held up as an example of like, do you see how dumb this stuff is? We'll never do this. So they will actually make up the shortfalls. They will actually, you know, be willing to donate millions of dollars so that it looks like socialism is succeeding. Same thing with this grocery store that he's starting. People like scoff and just are like, oh, a city-run grocery store, good luck. Now, there have been examples of city-run grocery stores failing very recently in the past. But again, I think the high awareness of what Mamdani's doing is going to change the calculus a little bit. I think those stores are going to do incredibly well. I think I would probably go shopping at them if I lived in New York because it comes along with a 30% discount on foodstuffs. Yeah, I'm probably going to take advantage of that if I were there. It'd be hard not to. It'd be hard to be paying a third more for food in my righteous stand against socialism when it's just like available right there. What's going to actually happen is it's going to put other grocers out of business. No one's going to go to them when you can go to the city run one, and the city one doesn't have to make a profit. It's not profit driven. It can wait. It can lose as much money as it wants, and it will be, you know, filled in by the taxpayer dollars. It's going to succeed, and it might destroy the city and then the country as it succeeds. But the idea that you're just going to scoff at this and go, "Oh, socialism, we'll see how that goes." It's like it's probably going to go pretty well. No, he's probably going to take a bunch of money from rich people and, you know, have cheap food, and that's going to put other places out of business, and then those other places are going to, you know, have to, they're going to appeal to the government and go, hey, we're going out of business here. If we go out of business, it's going to be a food desert. I guess you got to subsidize us now. It's a cancer that grows. It's like somebody gets cancer and you go, cancer doesn't work. You know, the cells, they don't function once they get cancer. So, you know, it's going to go away. It's like, that's not how it works. No, it distorts and destroys everything it touches, and then it moves on to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. It's a cancer. You can't just ignore it. Let's go to clip number four here. New York grocery discount program plans eligibility text to limit benefits to residents. So yes, folks, in New York City, you'll be able to vote without an ID, but not shop without an ID. Let's watch.
How are you going to keep people from taking advantage of that, that deal, basically? And is there going to be a limit on the number of items that someone can take that are discounted at that level from that essential basket?
So our RFP makes very clear that this is a program for New Yorkers to be able to put food on the table, not a program for people to be able to make a quick buck through reselling. I'm going to pass it over to our EDC head, GPAC, to add some additional details.
Yes, if you look at our RFP for the operator, we are looking to make sure that we target New Yorkers, whether it be at sort of a library card-esque thing, and also we manage who's buying and that is focused on everyday New Yorkers. So we are mindful of that, and so we're going to make sure that we have all the things in place to make ensure that that does not happen.
Yeah, so I guess it kind of does make sense to have socialism and like an internationalism at the same time. Like, socialism can make sense, but it's got to be like bounded by territories, and it's got to only apply to the people in that group. It's kind of like socialism needs some sort of offsetting countermeasure like nationalism for it to work. Am I crazy here?
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with, My Decision. and that is ivermectin with benzidol, both powerful, really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but benzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search benzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
You are listening to an AJN Live Frontline Report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Fourth hour is on. It is 2:06 p.m. Central Time, and we still have so much to talk about. Obviously, the invasion of the Spanish enclave of Ceuta continues unabated and causing a lot of problems. People discovering the real engine, the motive behind that coming out of Israel. We also have a debate that was held in Oxford, where, and I guess it was either the last week or over this weekend, the videos came out about should Islam be trusted or should we be suspicious of Muslims? Some absolutely bombshell clips coming out of that I would really like to show you. We also have a mob of Muslims attacking Jake Lang yet again in Dearborn, Michigan. Some harrowing footage out of that. Likewise, harrowing footage of friend of the show, multiple friends of the show, Nick Sortor and Carolyn Boroshenko being attacked at the BLM, whatever they call it, CHAZ, Community Autonomous Zone. There again, it just goes on. The Iran war, we got just crazy videos across the board. And folks, I do hope you can support us. I hope that you can contribute to this effort in any way that you can. If that just means following us on social media, sharing the content, downloading it yourself, uploading it yourself. I mean, still to this day, and as always, our stuff is free to air, free to take down, manipulate, change, re-upload, do it. We aren't going to copyright strike you. We're not trying to get a chunk of change. You used our content. You have to pay. No. Use our content. Use it. Make your own money. Go, create edits and put it into AI and fancy it up with graphics and then put it on TikTok and monetize that. Do it. We don't care. We want the information out there. It's always been about the information since that is the method of attack. It has to be the method of defense as well. Support us in this by going to thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, we make it so easy for you to support us. It is not difficult. It is not even a sacrifice, really, because what you're getting is well worth the price that you're paying. And then some, I would say. However, we do recognize and appreciate and respect the fact that our audience are hard workers. Our audience is not the type to rely on the government or dishonestly gain from the taxpayers. We know that you work for your money and we want and need to give you something that is worth the sacrifice that you're making, even though it's not really a sacrifice. We understand you could shop elsewhere. You could, just choose not to. We appreciate that you do. And we try desperately to make it worth it, not only by being as powerful as we can politically, by being as forthright and honest and truthful as we possibly can be. That is a cool hat. I heard Alex, I was listening earlier and I heard Alex go, oh, that's a cool hat. The red white. That is a very cool hat. Not only are we doing everything we can to be worthy of your support here on air and as we make our reports and, file our articles, but also in the actual stuff that you get, the actual products that you're buying are top of the line, beautiful, amazing, whether it's the t-shirts, the hats, the merchandise of all types, which, hey, if you don't want to really, out there like in your face hat, we got tons of stuff just with a subtle little American flag or whatever else. But of course, it's the supplements that keep people coming back over and over because they know how powerful and good they are. Right now, you are getting half off. You're getting 50% off Ultimate Power Energy Drink Mix. So, instead of drinking a canned energy drink with 14 pounds of sugar in it and all this other stuff that makes you feel energetic but causes you to crash later. No, this is real power. This is ultimate power. This is energy and focus at the cellular level in two great flavors, Freedom Mango and Patriot Punch. Both of those 50% off right now. The best time to try it. And if you've tried it, you're probably a fan of it. Also the best time to stock up on it. Ultimate power now on sale. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Just one of the many products that are 50% off, rather. 40% off, you're getting zeolite tincture, methylene blue tincture, CMOS gummies, Shilajit gummies, and the methylene blue gummies, Ultimate Chill, and Ultimate Energy. All of those are 40% off as well. So go to thealexjonesstore.com today. Make your purchase. Support us. Know that you are directly contributing into the greatest weapon system ever devised against the New World Order and the harms they cause to all of humanity, which are unimaginable, but also measurable. So please support us, thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. But the cheap and easy way is just to share our content. We so appreciate that. At the end of the day, if you're not doing everything you can to wake up normies, you're wasting your time. That's our philosophy here, and it has worked so far and will continue to work. I am not interested in preaching to the choir. I'm not interested in, you know, hearing the accolades of a small number of hyper-partisan X accounts. I want to be able to go to walk down the street and my neighbors are aware of what's going on and the cashier at the supermarket knows what's going on. And we can talk about this stuff on the boat with my in-laws. Like, this needs to be a regular thing. I don't want to be talking to a very small cadre of hyper-motivated people. Everybody in the world needs to know this. We need to tell them that they need to know. They don't even know they need to know it. You understand what I mean? They don't even know they're missing out on the truth. They're actually reading the newspapers and absorbing it uncritically. It's crazy. But like, if you're hearing my voice, you are a very unique person. I used to say this all the time, and it's different now. It is different now, and that's a success. That's a victory, right? The people know who people like Klaus Schwab are, Larry Fink. I mean, the fact that people know about Jeffrey Epstein, which again is moderately frustrating because, like, we've been talking about Epstein forever, and now you got a bunch of leftists that are like, oh, Jeffrey Epstein, you mean Donald Trump's best friend? And it's like, why can you guys not be normal human beings? Why can you not just, like, I don't know, it's crazy. It is crazy. Because, like, I've had this experience where, like, I try to tell people about stuff. I'm like, yeah, Jeffrey Epstein, Rape Island, Lolita Express, like, high level blackmail. I posted a video. We should probably play it more because It's such a good one. It took me forever to find, too. It was Rob Dew in, I think, 2017. We're walking around the streets of New York City, and he's informing people, and we get into a conversation. He's like, no, you don't understand. At the highest level, they're all pedophiles because they make you do horrible things so that they have blackmail on you so that they can control you. It's 2017. I mean, and this was old news for us. I mean, this is like, you know, we're explaining the basics to people on the streets of New York that this is the way things function. But it's worth it to remind people, like, hey, this was 9 years ago and we had them dead to rights. We knew exactly what was going on. We are not, I'm sorry, no offense, but we're not with you. You're way behind. You're like, we're so far ahead, we can't even see you anymore. We have to go back to remind, to like inform you of what we learned 20 years ago, which is fine, which is what we have to do. But it's a little frustrating when people are like, oh, we're all learning about COVID. We're all learning about Jeffrey Epstein. It's like, where have you guys been? And so you try to tell them a long time ago and they don't care. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, here's a vector of attack on Trump, Epstein. And people are like, oh, now it's a big deal. Now it's important to understand. Very frustrating. Luckily, we here at the Alex Jones Network, we do not need some ulterior motive to tell you the truth. We're just going to tell you the truth. And the truth today is that socialist politicians are making major strides, gaining major ground all across the United States because, really, if you want to put the blame on anything, you got to put it on conservatives in America, Republicans in America. They have totally and utterly failed to pass on the beliefs and the morality of our forefathers so that people nowadays, they genuinely do not understand, have no conception of why a nation or an individual would not want to be dependent on another. And I've heard this so many times recently from just friends and family and people I'm talking to, and they're even relating other people saying, like, look, today in America, the only way to get ahead is to steal the money. Like, that's what's happening. That is becoming the case. just like it is literally everywhere else in the world. And we've talked about this a lot on the War Room and the Alex Jones Show, just the idea that as flawed as America can be in certain times, we still live in a country where I don't have to bribe the cop when I get pulled over. In fact, if I tried to bribe the cop, they'd probably bring me in for trying to bribe them. Yeah, try that in literally any other country that's not like Northern Europe. Mexico is like pretty darn close to America. We have a lot in common. We're both republics. We both were founded in revolution. I mean, the similarities between, we're not all that different, but that little degree of difference, that tiny little separation between the American culture and the Mexican culture means in Mexico, you've got beheaded bodies hanging off of lamp poles, and you've got massacres being carried out in total secret by members of the government that are also members of the cartel. It means you have cartels endemic in every form of government in the entire country, and that you're having to bribe your way out of, you know, police stops. And I mean, it just, it's not that much of a difference. It's cranking that, you know, thermostat from 72 to 74, but, you know, it's, it makes a big difference on your quality of life and your ability to get things done and your ability to achieve greatness. It can all be ruined by just a portion of our country reaching that critical mass, portion of people who don't understand what this country's about or why we believe the things we believe. They can win. That's the problem with democracy. They don't have to prove the capability to actually understand the choices that they're making. They get to make the choice on whatever parameters they've come up with. And it's getting bad. And it's getting really bad. Let's go first to clip number six here. This is Scott Galloway, who apparently supported Mamdani, but now that it's coming to fruition, he's having regrets. Let's watch.
And I've been doxxed.
You've been doxxed? What? Tell me.
So I don't know if you've heard, but Mayor Mamdani has decided to release a list of the 950,000 residences with addresses and names that might be eligible for his pied-à-terre tax. I came out in favor of this tax. This is the definition. He's taken a legitimate source of tax revenue and he's turned it into a wanted poster. And the question I would have is, other than trying to identify and imply these people have done something wrong, and then 18 months after a healthcare CEO was executed in the street and then published the list, what is the upside here? Why is he doing this?
To destroy you, obviously. It's not that kind of, again, we've talked about this a lot too. What's the difference to them between you being shot in the back of the head by an assassin or, you know, being stripped of all your belongings and, you know, sent to jail because you're an evil billionaire? It's like you've got the top and the bottom now combined in this effort to destroy the middle or the super rich. But regardless, it's people with the political power and the base who gives them that political power are both combined in their petulant and childish idea that you have things they don't. They can take them from you and give them to themselves and everything will continue as normal. This is a delusion. It's a delusion that you fed into by supporting this and voting for it. So have you learned your lesson? Are you going to keep making that mistake? Is it, are you a human being? Because this again is the question. Does it need to affect you personally? I mean, once it does affect you personally, you know, there are certain layers of humanity, right? He's, I guess, broken through that second layer where it's like, I support something that sounds good. And then when it affects me, I don't like it anymore. And it's like, did you need it to defend? You couldn't just see that this was all bad. You had to actually have it inflicted on you. Just like you can go, oh, the crime rate's fine. And then you get, this happened to Anna Kasparian. The Young Turks, she was total leftist, liberal, just believed in everything. The homeless people needed billions of dollars and be cared for. And she got attacked by a homeless person. And then in relating her personal story of being attacked, she saw that all of her comrades were blaming her and were mad at her for daring to describe the way she was attacked. She's like, well, what the hell? This feels terrible. It's like, yeah, duh. You didn't know that? You didn't know that this is what people are feeling all around? You had to actually feel it yourself? Like, what is wrong with you? Do you understand what I mean? Like, you're a human being. You have the ability to imagine. You have the ability to project your mind. You can think, what if? What if I got attacked by a homeless person? What if, in trying to get justice for that attack, my attacker is let off the hook? Wouldn't that feel bad for me? I guess I shouldn't support that position. But instead, they support it and support it. And even when people are going, hey, this is ruining my life, they're like, shut up, you're a racist, until it affects them. Then they realize. But hey, at least they've achieved that. That's like just one level. I mean, the next level lower, I guess the next level lower would be the type of people who vote for this stuff, get the negative effects, and continue voting for it, right? Even Anna Kasparian, like, she's not the type of, you know, liberal leftist that you see who will be crying into the camera about how she doesn't feel safe when she's walking home while simultaneously voting to import a million criminal rapists into her country. So I'm like, I'm taking what I can get at this point. I'm begging for scraps of humanity, and all I can get is people, billionaires, like smart people who are like in charge of industries they can't figure out that socialism is bad until it affects them personally. Like, I'm sorry that it's like this, but okay, great. At least, you know, at least they're able to understand that, yes, the thing they wanted is now affecting them and it's bad, so it was always bad. I hope they can truly understand this stuff. But then you've got stuff like this. Clip number one. This is James Tallarico. He's maybe the premier example, certainly one of them. It's a phenomenon at this point. AOC, Mamdani, James Tallarico, mayor of Seattle, whatever the hell her name is. This Hong woman, I'll get to her in a second, Francesca Hong, who's running for governor in Wisconsin, not Michigan. I was mistaken earlier. She's running for governor of Wisconsin. They're people who, I mean, it's not like they've never run a business. They've never made a paycheck. They've never, Lena Hidalgo would be another one of these. We raged against her when she was running to be, you know, a grand poobah of Harris County, a grand judge who has, like, you know, inordinate power. Same type of thing with her. It was like, look at her resume. It's like, she went to school, then she went to school again, then she volunteered to, with like an NGO to help import migrants, and now she's in charge of Harris County. And it's like, who thought putting this idiot in charge? And since then, by the way, she's like not there half the time because she's clinically depressed and has to go lay down. And it's just like, what is going on? You're telling me that in this case, Houston, Texas, like the fourth largest city in America, the home of these massive like oil companies and like some of the finest museums in the world, you couldn't find a reasonably intelligent person with some executive experience to actually helm this ship? They don't care. I don't get it. They don't care. And the voters don't care. James Tallarico has never had a bank account, folks. James Tallarico, who at this point is polling ahead of the Republican to be senator of Texas, the man has never had his own bank account. He shares a checking account with his mother. Do you understand what I just said? When I was in sixth grade, I had a checking account. This man, who's going to be senator of Texas, very likely to be senator of Texas, never had a bank account. People are going to vote for him, and that's the problem. It wouldn't be a problem if we had reasonable people voting. If, like, adults who actually had their lives together and understood things and could read at a sixth grade level, like, if you ask them, hey, should the person who represents your state in the Senate, should they have, like, life experience? Should they have actually shown their ability to make decisions appropriately with stakes, you know, with actual like consequences? Apparently not. Apparently not. So let's go to some of these. Clip number one here. Here's James Tallarico nodding along as one of his constituents talks about Carmelo Anthony being falsely accused and convicted. Let's watch.
Our people have getting killed left and right. Carmelo Anthony's case is just a f-ing tragedy. Excuse my language. But it is. So what are we going to do to fix those harms?
I mean, what is there even to say? What did she even say? What? Sorry, can we play it again? I want that first part. I should have written it down. Let's play that clip again. I just want to hear how she frames it at the very beginning.
People have getting killed left and right.
Our people have getting killed left and right. That's right. Our people have getting killed left and right. our people have getting killed left and right, like Carmelo Anthony. Carmelo Anthony, I'll remind you, murdered a kid. He didn't die. What are you even talking about? And he's nodding. And James Tallarico, child, little baby, is nodding along. Yes, absolutely. The injustice of it all. Carmelo Anthony, who nobody actually believes Carmelo Anthony is innocent. Nobody actually believes that. This woman doesn't believe that. If she does, she's listening to people who are lying to her, who they don't believe it. Nobody believes Carmelo Anthony is anything but guilty. He shows up, pulls a knife out of his backpack, stabs a man in the heart for no reason, and runs away. And these people are like, this is a travesty. We have to fix this. And James Tallarico, a child who has never bought anything without mommy's permission, is sitting there nodding along like he knows what the hell she's talking about and agrees with it. Completely and utterly and ridiculously insane. And of course, the crowd cheers like they agree. So again, I want to ask, like, what do we do about this? What do we do about the fact that we live in a country, people whose votes count just as much as ours, that believe that Carmelo frickin' Anthony is some sort of victim of injustice or murder, I guess. I guess she thinks he got murdered because he murdered somebody and got convicted for it. That's murder, I guess. Same type of thing with the black kid who drowned on the party boat or whatever, and it's like we are still hearing this after months and months and months. The kid drowned. He drowned by himself, and there's no claim of foul play whatsoever. But we have to act like he got murdered. Like, what do we do with the population that believes the most outrageous and ridiculous lies and then votes for people whose only qualification is that they also believe those lies? What do we do? What do we do exactly? I don't really have a good answer. I mean, I've got answers. I just can't say them on the air. So I'm communicating with you as we speak telepathically. We have things like this. Clip number 12. You know, we'll go to this on the other side. But it's a person who was basically forced to run for office in Mecklenburg County. Because his house was shot at, his family almost killed, and nobody would return his calls or investigate it. And as we look at this, as we go into the final segment here, we're just going to try to take a bird's eye view at the utter collapse that America is facing with and try desperately to illustrate to our fellow Americans that this is a choice being made, that this is not a matter of necessity, it's not a matter of justice, it's not a matter of lack of resources. Our entire political establishment is coordinated, combined. They're comrades in arms in this war against you, against me, and against the American people and the middle class and white people and our history, which again, we've explained a million billion times over. And the greatest example, luckily it sort of hit the headlines last week. It's that Smithsonian chart that tells you, you know what whiteness is? Everything good and healthy and strong. It's, you know, objective reality and family and owning businesses. Not that complicated, folks. That's what they want to destroy. They don't care who it is that supports it. They want to destroy you. So what they do is they say independence and the Constitution, that's an aspect of whiteness. Whiteness is evil. Don't you want to get rid of the Constitution now so I can oppress you?
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out of the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so
we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Does anybody really know the secret or the combination for this life and where to keep it?
All right, welcome back, folks. This is The Alex Jones Show. I might try to change up my tone here a little bit, because I increasingly get comments on X or even from family members. My mom would be like, I tried to watch your show today. I made it about 5 minutes. It was too much. Where people are just going, yeah, I can't really make it through an episode. It's too blackpilling. I'm going to try not to blackpill you, even though it's never been my goal. I don't think I've changed the way I've covered things very much. I don't feel necessarily more blackpilled than I did 5 years ago. Certainly not any less by any means. I'm not trying to blackpill you. It's certainly not my mission. In fact, my mission is the exact opposite. You know, Napoleon has a quote that's like 9/10 of war is morale. The Romans had a quote, your foe is not defeated unless he considers himself so. So I understand that this is a war, this is an information war, and keeping your spirits up is like a core aspect of war. You know, it's not something you can just, it's not something that is auxiliary and extra, right? Like if you're planning a campaign of actual warfare, you don't have a choice whether or not to include a baggage train. Like, that's how your army survives, so you're going to die if you don't have that. In the same way, if we're allow ourselves to be overcome and beaten down and depressed by the bad things happening in the world, how are we ever going to have the energy or stamina to stand up against it and fight back? And if it seems hopeless, then it is. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you have no hope and you don't try to change it, then okay, it's hopeless. But if you can actually understand that there's a way out of this and that, in fact, all these problems are imminently solvable. Like, I'm less black-pilled than whatever the color pill it is to be frustrated. I'm the frustration pill, where it's like, it's not like, oh my God, everything is terrible and there's nothing we can do. It's like, oh my God, everything is terrible. And it would be so easy. It would be a matter of minutes to fix all these problems if we actually cared to. If we actually had people who represented us in our government and actually cared about our well-being and weren't trying to sell us out continually forever at every pass, it would be pretty simple, actually, to solve all of this. So it's more frustration to me than blackpilling. But I'm changing the tune here. I'm changing the tune. We're changing the key, because I got a lot of funny videos to show you here as well. But let's begin with what could start off as yet another heartbreaking story of yet another random act of violence in America, forever plaguing our streets. This case, it was a potential mass shooting at an In-N-Out Burger that was foiled and stopped. And once again, I think this fits perfectly into the InfoWars Alex Jones mindset, which is twofold. You have to try desperately to gain political power, to set things right, to make laws, to support your people. You've got to do that at the same time that that's going through its long and arduous process. You got to be prepared in case it doesn't work. You got to be stocking up food. You got to be prepared with your weapons. You've got to stay prepared in case in case plan A doesn't work out. You got to have a plan B. But actually, they're not plan A and plan B. They're in coordination. They're in combination. We say it with water filters. Yes, you want to try to pass a bill to get the fluoride out of the water. In the meantime, filter your damn water, right? It's not actually that complicated. And so I love this guy. His name, if I can get it here, is the Idaho shooter. Well, there are two shooters. There was an Idaho shooter who tried to kill people, and then there was the hero that stopped him. His name is Jordan Salinas, and he's speaking out about his actions in saving the day at that In-N-Out Burger random shooting over the weekend. Let's watch.
Tried to stop the shooting as it happened, an off-duty state trooper and a civilian. You can see footage here that appears to show one of them shooting back at the shooter. The civilian, identified by local media as 35-year-old Jordan Salinas. Here's Twin Falls Police Chief describing their heroic actions that likely saved lives.
We can confirm that there was an off-duty state trooper and a citizen who actively engaged the suspect by returning gunfire towards him. We believe their actions helped drive the suspect away from the scene, preventing further casualties.
According to reporting from the Idaho Statesman, Salinas instinctively ran toward the gunfire, drawing a semi-automatic pistol and fired on the mass shooter. The incident happened around 2:30 p.m. Saturday at a busy shopping plaza in Twin Falls. In-N-Out's president, Lindsay Snyder, says customers and an employee were among the victims, though the names of victims are not being released by law enforcement at this time. Video shows the suspect dressed in black, carrying a long rifle. Law enforcement described a chaotic scene as customers and employees at the In-N-Out ran from the restaurant as gunshots rang out.
Brilliant. From Gateway Pundit, heroic armed citizen speaks out after fighting back against Idaho In-N-Out gunman. Says he trained for years for this moment. And of course, the photo that's gone viral is that one there on the right of him, you know, in the shooting stance, pistol leveled. And it is a perfect frame, perfect recreation of a still frame from one of his training videos. People have been pointing out, you know, you're not just training for fun. It is tragic. Police have ID'd 23-year-old Ashley Garibe as one of those killed when the gunman opened fire at the Idaho In-N-Out. She was an employee at the restaurant in Twin Falls, and was from California. So a tragedy, obviously, but man, it could have been a lot worse. It could have been a heck of a lot worse. And thank God, a real American who understands, appreciates, and exercises the Second Amendment was there to put down the threat before it could, you know, fully be exercised. And yeah, just brilliant. Just absolutely brilliant. Meanwhile, I got to go to this. I told you I was, you know, it's going to be a white pilling. Like, you know, I don't know if it's going to wipe, but at least you can laugh, right? Hey, I may not be able to show you the you know, golden pathway to the promised land, but at least we can laugh at hell. At least we can laugh at the hell that we're living in, right? This video just, I think, tells you everything you need to know about the modern world. I think this should be engraved into a golden plate and sent up into space for alien creatures to find so they know exactly what they're dealing with down here on Earth. Let's go to clip number 19. Here's a woman trying to use a staircase in Piccadilly Circus there in the UK. She's having some trouble because she's in a wheelchair, but you'll never guess how she eventually is able to surmount this obstacle. Let's watch.
The lift's down. Rip. Here's what happens if you're a wheelchair user and the lift breaks at the train station. This was Manchester Piccadilly, and when I arrived, the lift was broken and I had my chair and attachment. I spoke to the staff and they brought down a stair lift.
I don't know if it works.
The first option was the built-in stair lift, but this actually didn't work. They figured out that it was broken. So that was two options completely down. The second option was a small portable stair lift, which didn't look as sturdy, and I was quite scared of it, not gonna lie. But they brought it down anyway, and when we got to the bottom, we realized that my chair wouldn't fit onto it. I have quite a long wheelbase with my attachment, so we couldn't do it. We'd just gotten off a flight too, so I couldn't even detach my attachment because it was physically taped together and we didn't have scissors. So in the end, because I'm ambulatory and I did have a bit of energy on this day, I offered to walk up the stairs while they carried up my setup. The staff were really helpful in this case, but I'm not sure how it would have been fixed if I couldn't walk up the stairs. Travel is really unpredictable anyway, but if you add in being a wheelchair user, you never quite know what's going to happen or how to get to your destination. So traveling with a disability is a roller coaster.
She walked, folks. She walked up the stairs. What? She's like, I don't know what would have happened if I couldn't walk up the stairs. Yeah, I guess, but you can. But you can actually walk up the stairs? Apparently this woman, I haven't actually confirmed this, but I saw videos, people, apparently she does gymnastics. Apparently she spends her time doing like balance beam and stuff, but she's also in a wheelchair, but she's also ambulatory. What? And I just can't. It's so stupid. It's so stupid. That was not a parody. That was not a joke. That was total sincerity. Like, that's the crazy thing on top of it. She makes this video trying to get sympathy for how hard it is to be a wheelchair user. And in her story, she walks up the staircase on her own volition and with her own power. What are you talking about, lady? And it's like, I don't know, something about the fact that it's like this woman's like, I can't get up the staircase. I need help. And so we have at least three other options for her. It's like, well, there's a lift and there's a staircase. There's a wheelchair lifter built into the staircase. And we have a separate, you know, device to use it. All incredible technologies, right? So it's like, first of all, it's this idea that it's like, oh, you have a problem. Here's one technology. Here's another technology. Here's this. Here's it. Here's the, you know, entirety of our industrial output. Here's, you know, hours of engineering and medical care. It's all gone into creating these things. First of all, they don't even work. First of all, that's the first like symbol of our societies. We have three different ways to get up the stairs. All three of them are broken. All three of them don't work. All three of them have not been maintained, have not been kept up, and are totally useless. Why do we even have them in the first place? Or how do we not have money to repair them in the first place? Oh, because you're bringing in millions of dependents to live off the government and go to your doctors. Okay, fine. So it's like you do all of this. You roll out the red carpet. You have five different technological advantages for them to help them. And it's like they never even need it in the first place. But you still have to do the work. But they still made the people go get the chairlift thing. They made them test it. Oh, it's not going to work. Made them carry the wheelchair up the stairs, you know, at the end of the day. And it's like, that was all just because you didn't want to walk up. You didn't even need any of that anyway. All of the outpouring of our generosity is being squandered because you were never even incapable of living for yourself, dealing with it yourself. Okay, great. I mean, that's it. That's our society in a nutshell. It's the outpouring of our industrial genius and engineering mastery being squandered on people who have no appreciation for it, couldn't create it if they wanted to, and don't actually need it. So there you go. We live in hell, but at least you can see the irony. I hope. Let's go now to clip number 15. is a comedy skit where, again, we're going to get back into the leftist attitude. The leftist attitude of these progressive children that are now running entire cities in the United States. Let's go to clip number 15.
Oh my gosh.
Hey, welcome to heaven.
Wow, this place is beautiful.
Yeah, you were a really good person and now you're here.
This is unbelievable. What helped me get into heaven?
Well, for starters, all your advocacy for climate change helped stop global warming and kept the planet from melting.
Really? Oh, I knew it wasn't a hoax.
Yeah. I mean, because of your actions, the planet's now cooling and everyone's gonna freeze to death in 30 years.
What?
Well, maybe not 30, but 20 more or less. But at the time, you were right.
Well, okay, well, what else got me in?
Oh, lots of stuff. You helped stop ICE from deporting multiple undocumented immigrants and eventually led to them getting abolished.
No way. Wow, we did finally stop those Nazi bastards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of bad hombres did get to stay, though, and they continued murdering and raping whoever they wanted, facing little to no consequences.
Okay, well, that doesn't sound like a very good thing.
What? It was a wonderful thing. You didn't know. You acted in good faith at the time.
Okay, well, I guess you would be right. Anything else I did good?
Well, you cut ties and disowned that evil Republican family of yours.
Evil? They were worse than evil. They were racist.
Yeah. I mean, you disowned them because of who they voted for, and although they would have never disowned you because they loved and respected you too much, and it absolutely shattered your mother's heart when you wouldn't return her phone calls or her texts, so she ended up dying of a broken heart. But hey, that racist bitch is burning in hell right now.
I killed my mother?
Hey, love schmov. You did what was best for your political party.
Listen, man, it honestly doesn't sound like I was a good person at all.
What? That's not what it sounds like to God, baby. Although you really didn't believe in God.
Oh,
but hey, you're forgetting about all the stuff you did for women's rights.
Oh my gosh, please, no.
You made sure women always had a right to choose and you got the government to stay away from women's bodies.
Please don't say it.
Unfortunately, that did lead to millions of unborn babies being murdered every year.
No, God, stop, just stop. Jesus, man.
Hey, don't take the Lord's name in vain. Don't ever do that.
I'm such a terrible person. This doesn't even feel like heaven.
What? That's not true. Come on, all that pot you smoked, cutting your son's balls off when he was 3 years old. I mean, where did you think you were gonna end up?
Heaven?
Well, too bad. You're in hell.
Oh, God.
Oh, relax. Ronald Reagan, George H.W., and Jimmy Carter are all right over there. I mean, where did you think you were?
I didn't know.
You were a terrible person. I mean, come on. Didn't you wonder why you didn't see Hitler roaming around here?
Hitler made it to heaven?
Of course he did. He believed in the divinity of Christ. Subscribe and let me know what you want me to do next.
That's pretty good. That is pretty good. Samuel Jacob comedy is that guy's name. I mean, what do they think? But seriously, but really, they think they're good people disowning their families? I mean, this, it really does cut to the heart of it, doesn't it? And I'm like, okay, I've got 9 minutes left in the segment. Do I have 9 minutes left of not terrible things? I've got terrible things. I could show you some stuff, folks. My God. I mean, you want to talk about the migrants in Ceuta? I could show you, you know, Spanish Coast Guard talking about how they literally threw their own children overboard when they thought, but anyway, but I don't want to get into that, but I'm trying to stay positive here. Can I do it for 9 minutes? Can we stay positive for 9 minutes? Depends on your definition. Let's go now to clip number 24. Once again, this is not a good thing. This is not a positive thing. It is, in a sickly, ironic, poisonous sort of way, very, very funny. Folks, we've all seen, it's a staple, really, of American cinema. The classic scene, you think of like Full Metal Jacket. You're a Marine recruit, first day in boot camp, and you get the verbal lashing that sets the stage for what's going to come next. We've all seen real examples of this, fictional examples of this. It lives in our collective subconscious, is this concept, this idea that you join the army, you get broken down verbally, beaten down physically, and then remade, rebuilt into a real human being. Things are a little bit different these days. A little bit different. Let's go now. Clip number 24. Everything I saw said this was real. Believe it or not, to the best of my knowledge, this is a literal induction presentation by the United States Marines. Not exactly your classic Full Metal Jacket style. What was the guy's name? Lee Ermey, I think. It's a little different these days. Let's watch.
We will treat you as we do our soldiers, with firmness, fairness, dignity, and compassion. Physical or verbal abuse by any Marine or recruits will not be tolerated. If anyone should abuse or mistreat you, I expect you to report such incident immediately to me or one of my fellow soldiers. Furthermore, if you feel I have mistreated you, I expect you to report such incident to your senior commander. My fellow soldiers and I will be with you every day, everywhere that you go. I have told you what my fellow soldiers and I will do. From you, we demand the following. You will give 100% of yourself at all times. Obey our orders quickly, willingly, and without question. Treat our Marines and recruits with courtesy and respect. You will not physically abuse or verbally threaten another Marine or recruit. Be completely honest in everything that you do. A Marine never lies or cheats. Respect the rights and properties of all others. A Marine never steals. You must work hard to strengthen your body, your spirit, and your mind. Be proud of yourself in that uniform you now wear. Above all else, never quit or give up, for we offer you the challenge of recruit training and the opportunity to earn the title United States Marine.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. I mean, I got nothing. I mean, it is literally worse than a South Park episode. Like, the man had, was it a man? I couldn't even tell. For our radio listeners, you just saw a being, a humanoid sort of thing. Very scary, almost like a gray, like an alien gray. Maybe this is a part of Disclosure or something, but very, very, very skinny. Like, I don't, it took me, I was like, this guy's not a Marine, right? Like, don't you have to, like, do physical things to be a Marine? This person looks like a twig. Like, I'm not a super buff guy. I'm on the skinny side, but, like, this is unhealthy. And the fact that he is screaming in this, I honestly think this person's trans. I mean, that was a trans voice if I've ever heard one. He's got tattoos all over his arms, I guess. Or maybe those are scars from where they took the meat to make his fake penis. I don't really know what we're looking at exactly here. I know it sounds like Cartman screeching. And the fact that he's screaming just like,
You will be respected. We love you and we'll never hurt you. And if anyone hurts you, you are to tattle. Immediately.
Oh my god. I mean, how do you take this seriously? Look at that dude standing behind him. It's a black dude standing behind him like a freaking Greek statue. That dude I would be scared of yelling. It's like 7 feet tall. It's like he was carved out of bronze. That's the Marine that should be yelling at the recruits. Why is the person a head shorter than him, weighing half as much as him, with his pants all the way up at his nipples? Like, what is this? What is this? It's just, I don't know. Is this stop being funny about halfway through the video? About halfway through the video, I was like, all right, this isn't really funny anymore. This is just kind of sad. This is just kind of sad and pathetic and weird. The Marines. These are the fabled Marines. Yeah, I mean, I got nothing. My God. I mean, but seriously, my God. We only have a few more minutes. We're not going to be able to get all of these. This video goes on for 8 solid minutes. We'll play a few here. Clip number 33. This is the Seattle mayor practically crying because she fired the chief of police. And this is what I mean. This is the children that they're now electing. She's been in charge of Seattle for like 4 months. The entire city has turned on her. And she has no justification for the choices that she makes. Because why should she? She has never had a job. She lived in her parents' basement when she was elected to be mayor. Why would you elect somebody who lives in their parents' basement to be mayor? Like, I understand. There's probably a lot of people listening to me right now. You're in bad situation. You know, you lost your job to some Indian for, you know, nothing you could do about it. I don't blame people who have to live with their parents by necessity. This person lived with their parents because they had no ambitions, had no skills that anybody would pay for, and are a socialist layabout who is now mayor of one of the biggest cities in America. Here's how she handled the questioning from reporters in liberal Seattle. The journalist class in liberal Seattle is now turned against this woman, but I guarantee you they all voted for her. Let's watch.
I understand that many of my colleagues on the city council disagree with the decision to move forward with a leadership change at SPD at this time. I am making what I firmly believe is the right decision at the right time.
The optics are that you are making Chief Barnes the fall guy for missteps that happened after the Seattle Center shooting, including the 5-hour lack of information, except for a statement from your office which contained errors. What do you want members of the public who say you've made him the fall guy?
Yeah, I'll just say again, I firmly believe that I'm making the right decision at the right time. And part of this is a feeling of urgency around upcoming events this summer, including this weekend, wanting to make sure that we have the right leadership in place at SPD, the right communications protocols, so that as we move forward, we can be much clearer with the public if something like that should happen again.
Mayor, this is obviously the biggest decision you've made during your term. The council is not here. The council is not standing behind you. The council, as you know, has criticized, and I want to get down to their exact words. Joy Hollingsworth, council president, called this move irresponsible and it's a tad bit reckless. Deborah Juarez says the emergent issue is this: you do not fire your chief of police in the middle of a murder investigation. What we're seeing under this administration, her words, are more than just gaffes or missteps. I see a complete lack of leadership, and for us, for some of us, no confidence in this administration. This has reached a level where we have to have a serious conversation about the confidence we have in this executive. So this is your chance to respond to the council. Why should the city of Seattle and this council have confidence in your leadership going forward?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'll repeat what I said to one of your colleagues here, which is that I respect their differences of opinion. And as the mayor, as the executive of the city, I do have a different window into our police department than they do. And I'm making the decision that I believe is best and urgent.
So this is it, folks. This is our future, is a bunch of like totally incompetent, unaccountable, largely children who've never made a decision that impacted anything other than what they had to eat for lunch, are now making decisions. And 4 months into her administration, the whole city's turned against her. The city council's against her. Does she back down? Does she show humility? Of course not. She's a petty little child. She's a little dictator. And she's going to tear down the country from the inside. And everybody else is going to follow her lead. It's absolutely pathetic and despicable. It's your future on display. Stay tuned. War Room begins in 2 minutes.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts. Go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for 1 second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if. It's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.